Now we read together in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and reading verse number 10. Now let me remind you what we have been speaking about in the past few nights. We have been bringing before our hearts the judgment seat of Christ. We all do believe in the coming of the Lord, I trust. And whenever the Lord comes, we are going to rise to meet Him. And one of the first things that we are going to experience is the judgment seat of Christ. We notice that the New Testament has quite a bit to say about this. We noticed especially in the past two or three nights that the Lord is interested in certain aspects of our lives down here. We give a very, very hasty look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and saw that the Lord was interested in how I labor in the building. And we saw that the Lord was going to judge what we put into the assembly of the Lord's people. And then last night we looked and expanded a little in Romans chapter 14 and saw that the Lord was also going to judge how I have loved the brethren. And again, God is very, very interested in our behavior towards one another. It's going to be judged at the judgment seat. And so now I come to the third part, and that is how I have lived in the body. And so for my verse this evening, it is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. So verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now the Lord will bless to us this lovely reading from His Word. Now 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is one of the sweetest chapters that we have in our New Testament. And you see, it's a pity that there's a division just between chapter 4 and chapter 5. Had we to look back to verse 18 of chapter 4, this is what we read. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And here we find that the Apostle Paul is, as it were, giving an explanation of how he keeps going. You see, the Apostle Paul, in chapter 4 of this epistle, in chapter 6 of this epistle, and in chapter 11 of this epistle, he goes through the hard, hard times that he experienced in the gospel. And then you would say to him, now, Paul, why go on? Why go on? If they're going to beat you, if they're going to whip you, if they're going to cast you into prison, as you tell us in these chapters, if you're being cast down and so on and pursued, why go on? And tell me this, Paul, where do you get the energy to go on? Or what keeps you going? Where do you get the inner strength to keep going in the face of terrible, terrible opposition? Now, says Paul, very, very simple. I don't look at the things which are seen. I look at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. They're only here for a wee while. Those stones that they throw to me, well, that's only for this little life. Those prison bars, that's only this little life. Says the Apostle Paul, rather, I look at the things which I can't see now, but I know that they're a certainty. I know that they're real. And these things keep me going. And then he enumerates in chapter 5 those things which are spiritual, those things which you can't see as yet, those things which are eternal. And the very first one that he tells us about in the opening verses is that he has a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, says Paul. That's what keeps me going. See this body? This body is going to give way to another body. It's going to give way to a spiritual body. A house or a body not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. There's one of the things. One of the things not seen as yet, but one of the things that are eternal that keeps me going. And then further down he gives us another thing. He says, you know this, while I am at home in the body, I am absent from the Lord. But the time's going to come, if the Lord be not come yet,
that I'm going to be absent from the body, I'm present with the Lord. In other words, I'm going to see the Lord, and that keeps me going. And therefore, you see, these afflictions, by and by, they're going to give way. I just can't stay on this earth forever. By and by, this whole body is going to succumb to disease or suffering or death in whatever way it comes, and I'm going to see the Lord. And that's another thing that keeps me going. And then he comes down to verse number 10, and he says, now I'll tell you a third thing that keeps me going, the judgment seat of Christ. He said, we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now he said, that's a thing not seen as yet. And the outcome of that is eternal. And says he, that's another thing that keeps me going. And had we have gone on down the chapter, we would see that he follows that with the love of Christ. The love of Christ constraineth me. That's something which perhaps the world cannot see. But that's something which is eternal, which will never, never pass away. And that keeps me going as well. And then down to verse 17, he says, you know, if any man be in Christ, he's part of the new creation. He says, I don't see this old creation. I look to the new creation, the new heavens and the new earth, and I'm going to dwell upon it. And there'll be no suffering nor no affliction there. And these things, not seen as yet, they keep me going, here and now. And Paul gives us the secret of his inner strength. And you know, that would be good for all us. We could just get our eyes off our afflictions and our eyes off our troubles and get occupied with that which is to come and get occupied with the coming of the Lord. And whenever he comes, the glorified body, and to see him whom we now serve, and the judgment seat of Christ, and all that that will bring us, and the fact that then we shall really know the love of Christ forever in a new way, and part of the new heavens and of the new earth. This is a blessed and happy chapter indeed. Now my subject this evening is the judgment seat of Christ. And here in this little verse, the Apostle Paul tells us one or two things. He first of all introduces the people. We must all appear. He gives us the place before the judgment seat of Christ. And he gives us the purpose. And the purpose is just simply this, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Now, I need not emphasize the people because we have gone over that in the past nights. It is for Christians and Christians only. Nor need I emphasize the place because, again, we have gone over that in the past scriptures that we have looked at as appearing before the judgment seat of Christ. But I am interested in the latter part of this verse, which tells us that everyone may receive the things done in his body. In his body. Now let me pause for a little while. Let me tell you something about 2 Corinthians. Some people look upon 2 Corinthians as a very, very difficult book. You know, some have compared 1 Corinthians like a well-laid-out garden, where we have the nice flower beds here, the vegetable plot over here, nice little fountains, paths up the middle, everything in order. But whenever you come to 2 Corinthians, it is like a tangled jungle. You don't seem to be able to get a line through it that goes right through. It seems to be that the Apostle Paul is jumping from subject to subject and is very, very hard to understand. Now, that may be so. But let me tell you one thing. If you read through 2 Corinthians very, very clearly, read it with your mind upon the passage, I don't think you'll read very far until you notice something. You'll notice that the body is very, very prominent in 2 Corinthians. This body which we now have. And you see, whenever the Apostle Paul said to receive the things done in his body, he's only bringing up to a climax what he has been dealing with in the previous chapters. You see, it's just simply this. The Apostle Paul has been pointing out in 2 Corinthians the new covenant in chapter 3. He says the old covenant, you know, is the law. The new covenant is the blood of Christ
on what we have for eternity through him. Now, this is so different from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians has not so much to do with the gospel as to do with the church. Whereas 2 Corinthians has got to do with the ministry, with the covenant, the ministry of the apostle. There we find it is God that is being dishonored in 1 Corinthians. It is the apostles that are being dishonored in 2 Corinthians. And the apostle Paul has to uphold his ministry. And in doing so, he says, now, our ministry is a direct contrast to the old ministry, the ministry even of the prophets or of the law of Moses. And then he tells us in chapter 3 everything about the law of Moses. It was a ministration of death. It was a ministration of judgment. And he goes on to tell us all these things, that there was no blessing in it for man. And therefore God hid it in the ark, you know, covered it over. Because, well, if man looks at it, it'll only condemn him. Once man comes into the light of the law, he's judged. He's undone. And he says everything about the law was covered, and Moses put a veil over his face because the glory of the law, well, it just didn't benefit mankind. There was nothing in it for man. Absolutely nothing. But he says, this gospel which we preach, this ministry of the apostles, everything is with unveiled face. It is a shining art, a shining art. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and it is a revelation. And he plays upon that point, that it is a manifestation, a revelation. And those words are used time and time again in this epistle. And then he comes to chapter 4, and he says, do you know something? He says, this new ministry can affect us in time. Now, what way did it affect those other people in time? That is, the old covenant. Oh, it made them sinners. It brought out their weakness. And it brought forth death and condemnation. But what about us? How does the gospel affect those that are saved in time? Oh, that's what he deals with in chapter 4. And he uses the idea of the body time and time again. And then you come to chapter 5. And what have we in chapter 5? How it will affect us in eternity, as we have seen already. So says Paul, we now have a ministry that affects the people in time in a tremendous, powerful way, and that will also affect them in eternity. Whereas the old covenant, you know, it just condemned the people, and it had nothing for them in time, and most certainly had nothing for them in eternity. And so therefore, what do we have in time? Well, we have bodies, don't we? We have bodies. As far as time is concerned in our little experience, we experience time. Whenever we're ushered into this life as a little babe, and that continues until we go out of this earth by way of death. And we look upon, shall we say, time, as far as our time is concerned, from our birth to our death. And so therefore the most precious possession we have, you know, apart of course from spiritual things, is the body. And I think we all know that. We all look after the bodies. I can see this evening that you're all very well fed. I can see that you're all well clothed to keep yourselves happy. I can see that, well, you like to keep yourself nice and clean. And we feed the body. And we exercise the body. And we clothe the body and everything else because, well, it's one of the best things that we have, isn't it? And you know, we find that if anything goes wrong with the body, you're off to the doctor, you know, for medication, as you call it. And we find that, well, we're looking after the body all the time. Because, well, there's none of us want this old body to go down just yet. Just yet. And then you see, without the body, what can we do? If I hadn't this body, how could I serve the Lord? If you hadn't that body, how could you do your daily work? If you hadn't that body, well, you just couldn't live in this earth at all. And we find that we need this body for time, we need this body for earth. And so the Apostle Paul is telling us here how the lovely ministry of Christ, as we have heard already, how that this revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ affects our bodies in time. And that's why he speaks so much about the body in 2 Corinthians.
See the different metaphors he uses of the body in chapter 4, for instance. Look at verse number 7 of chapter 4. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Here he's referring to your body and my body as an earthen vessel. See how in verse number 10 he makes another reference to the body. All was bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. There he's referring to the body. See again, he refers to it by a different term altogether in verse number 11. He says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And here he refers to our body as mortal flesh. And look what he have in verse number 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. And he refers to the body as an outward man. So here he has referred to the body no less than 4 times in this chapter, and each time he has referred to it in a different way. Now, Paul, what do you mean by our body whenever you say that it is an earthen vessel? Well, he says it's not a golden vessel, you know. It's not a silver vessel. It's an earthen vessel. And I tell you, if you have a nice earthen vessel and you're carrying it across, you know, to put it down on the counter and you slip and it slips out of your hands, it's smashed. Isn't it? Whereas a nice golden vessel would just simply bounce off the floor. But we find that an earthen vessel is very, very easy shattered. And the Apostle Paul, by the use of an earthen vessel, he's expanding on the weakness of the human body. And right enough, we must admit we're very weak. We must admit, you know, that just a little puff, as it were, can blow us down. We find that there are so many things we can succumb to. There are so many diseases, we're accident prone and everything else. And we find that sooner or later, this old body just bows down and gives up. And away we go into eternity. And Paul, what do you mean by using the body the way you do in verse number 10? All he says is something that he points out and brings to a head in the verse that we read in chapter 5, verse 10. The body is where we manifest things. We can see that the worldling manifests by his body exactly where he stands. By his body he goes in for the filth of this earth, and he shows that he belongs to the filth of this earth, and that he belongs to a sinful world, and he belongs to the devil, and his fallen nature, his body is in keeping with it. Whereas we find that the Christian is expected to manifest the likeness of Christ. And we find that he uses the idea of the body as manifesting. Manifesting. It's in this body that we manifest so many things. It's in this body that some people manifest that they're very, very wise. It's in this body some people manifest that they're very, very foolish. It's in this body, you see, some people manifest that they can get on in this world. It's in this body some people manifest that they're not able to cope with this world. You know, we manifest in the body. We do indeed. And we find something else. What do you mean, Paul, by mortal flesh? What do you mean by that in verse number 11? Well, it's just this. The stamp of death is upon us. No matter how strong we are physically, no matter how wise we are, no matter how clever, nevertheless the stamp of death is upon every one of us. We're carrying about mortal flesh. By and by, we will reach the grave if the Lord be not come. We're all traveling to the cemetery as fast as time can take us. And what do you mean, Paul, by the outward man? Oh, he says the outward man's perishing. I just mean that we're getting older. That's what I mean, he said. We're just getting older. The outward man is perishing. Why, we find that after a while we need spectacles because our eyes are going dim. We find that we begin to get gray hairs, and we find that sometimes we lose our hair, and we find that we need hearing aids, and we find that after a while we need sticks to help us apart, and we can't just get apart the way we used to. You see, we're getting old. we're getting old.
Oh, very, very unpleasant picture in chapter 4, isn't it? Isn't it a very unpleasant picture? Shall we say, here we are, weakness, an earthen vessel, weak, as weak as anything. Here Paul points out a body, we manifest things. And generally speaking, we manifest the wrong thing. Mortal flesh, the stump of death is upon us, and we're getting older by the day. A very, very sad picture. Now, but here's what the Apostle Paul is teaching. He's not teaching it in a sad way. He's putting forth our body in a different way altogether. Oh, this wonderful ministry, this ministration of the new covenant can take up the weakest thing and glorify God in it. And says Paul, I want to teach you that God can take up a human body and receive tremendous glory from it. How's that, Paul? Oh, well, now let's look at these things again. Just the same as I look at these metaphors, he said, I can tell you about more metaphors in chapter 5. He said, I refer to the body as a tent. Further down in verse number 4 or 5, he refers to it as a garment, putting it off on clothes, that we may be clothed upon. He refers to it as a home, while I'm at home in the body. And then finally, he comes to a climax in a little verse, the things done in his body, that we might receive. Now, as I say, chapter 4 may be a very sad chapter, but says Paul, no, it's not. For this tremendous gospel, this ministry of Christ, once a man is sheltered by the blood of Christ, once the Spirit of God enters into a man, and mind you, there's much about the Spirit in 2 Corinthians, he says, you know what happened? God can take that weak, weak vessel and can glorify his name in that body. And then by and by, whenever that body shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ, or shall we say glorified, and we look back to the body that we had, whether it was 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, as the case may be, that we may receive the things done in the body. Done in the body. How wonderful. Now, says the Apostle Paul, let's look at these things again. A vessel. Oh, by a vessel, Paul, you mean very, very weak, easily shattered. It's not a gold vessel. It's not a silver vessel. That's right. But listen, do you know what happened to Gideon whenever they smashed the vessel? Says Gideon, do you know what I want you to do? I want you to get an earthen pitcher. And I want you to put a lamp in it. And he said, you know, whenever you come, I want you all together, whenever you hear the voice, the sound of the trumpet, he says, to smash the vessel. And then the light will shine. The light will shine. And true enough, God can take up a weak, weak body. And the weaker we are, the more the power of God can shine. Look at poor Paul. Scars all over his body. Suffering a thorn in the flesh, whatever that was in chapter 12. Has been beat about from pillar to post. But see how powerfully the Lord's working through him. And he says, you know, there's a treasure in this earthen vessel. And this treasure can only be seen when the vessel is broken. And I think he's speaking of an old, old custom, you know, that people used to hide their treasures, you know, in an earthen vessel. And whenever the thief come in, you know, we find that the easiest way for the thief to find the treasure was he just got a big stick and just went around and smashed all the vessels. And here, as soon as he smashed the vessel in which the treasure was in, the treasure was manifested. And that's the idea that the Apostle Paul is using here. And he says, you know, once the vessel is broken down, the power of God really shines out. Oh, that means, therefore, that if I try to do things on my own strength, there'll be no power there. No power. The Apostle Paul is there in prison in Philippians. And we find that, well, he hasn't got the freedom, and I'm sure he's not too well, and everything seems to be against him. But he says, you know, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He does nothing of his own strength. And you see, the secret to blessing
on the secrets of power in our lives is lose all sight of our own importance and be broken down, as it were, in the presence of the Lord, and let God have His will with our lives. And let God manifest Himself in our life. And let God use us, as it were, as broken down in His presence, that He may use us just the way He wants to.
Therefore, with this broken vessel, this earthen vessel, which is very, very weak, says the apostle, the power of God comes out of it. The name Paul demonstrates that, you know. And here he uses military words, and he uses the idea of a soldier in battle. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 7 first, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And here these words are very, very important, because he's speaking of a soldier in battle. And this word troubled means pressed on every side. Pressed on every side. The enemy coming in like a flood. And then the idea of this soldier, but nevertheless, even though he may be surrounded, he can keep his head. He can keep his head. He just doesn't give up. And then, as well as that, perplexed that he doesn't know exactly what he's going to do. Should he go this way or that way? Should he use the shield or use the sword? He doesn't know what to do. But nevertheless, we find that even though that is so, yet he still keeps his head. He's not in despair. And then finally, the enemy is too much for him, and he's pursued, as verse number 9 should be. Pursued. And yet, he's not alone. And sometimes the enemy will come behind him and cut him down. And yet, he gets up again. And we find that here the enemy does all he can to put down that man of God. But the Spirit of God is in the Apostle Paul, and the strength of the risen Christ is too great and too mighty. And Paul comes up again. And he comes up with power and with triumph. And he goes on. And it's evident to everybody that this is the power of God and not the power of man. Becomes evident. Surely becomes evident. This is what the Apostle Paul means in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. When he says, God has taken the weak thing. Despise things which are not, so that no flesh should glory in his presence. And you can see this in the book of Judges beyond anywhere else. You will find, for instance, that God took Gideon, we have already referred to him, and he was the least in his father's house, and his tribe was the smallest tribe of the whole land, and yet God took him. And look at his army. A mere 300 men. And look at his weapons, not bows and arrows nor spears, but an empty pitcher. An empty pitcher with only a light in it. Emptied first that the light might go in, and then shattered that the light might shine. You look again in the book of Judges, here's Samson. See his weapons? Again, no bows and arrows. The jawbone of an ass. That's all that he had. And with the jawbone of an ass, he slew 1,000 men. Look at Shamgar. All Shamgar had was an ox goad, a little piece of stick with a point on the end. That's all that he had. And he slew the Philistines with a great slaughter. And we think of Jephthah, who was the son of an harlot. And all through the book of Judges, we get this thing coming up, that God is taking the weak things, the despised things, and glorifying his name and using these things for a channel. Says Paul, that's what I'm bringing up. Now, look at the next one, where he speaks about the body. And now, as I've already said, that the body would manifest things, and the idea of the body, as far as the world is concerned, well, we just look at the man coming, the scotious drunk down the street, and he's manifesting in his body exactly where he stands and how he lives. We see the man with the filthy cigarette, and he's expressing, well, the drugs, etc., have got a hold over him. We express things by the body. But says Paul, look at verse number 10. Paul was bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, Now it says Lord Jesus in your authorized text, but the word Lord should not be there. It is not a reference to Christ as he is now. It is a reference to Christ as he was upon this earth. And why does he mention the dying of the Lord, or of Jesus? Why mention the dying? What do you mean, Paul? Well, Paul is just simply saying this. To put it in simple words, he says, the blessed Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, went about doing the will of God. Doing the will of God. And that will culminated in his death. And he says, I'm the very same. I'm here in my body, manifesting the will of God for me. I'm burning about the dying of Jesus. I'm following his example. I'm taking my cue from him. And just as the Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth, as Jesus of Nazareth, suffered and continued to suffer because it was the will of God, and he manifested the will of God and brought it to a climax by his death on the cross, over reminded of the words of the Lord, that the world may know that I love the Father, let us go hence. And he went out of that room to face arrest, suffering, and death, because it was the Father's will. Says the Apostle Paul, that's what I'm doing. He says, I'm burning about in my body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in my body. He says, I don't want you to see me, I want you to see the Lord as Jesus. I want you to see one who's fulfilling the will of God down here in his body. Just the same as the Lord Jesus Christ took a body and came into this world to do the Father's will. What do you mean, Paul, by mortal flesh? What do you mean by that? Oh, we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. He said, you know, here's another angle of it. He said, my life was under a threat of death, and Paul expected martyrdom. I can see that from this very text. He knew that finally he would die a martyr's death. He knew that finally he would be called upon to lay down his life for Christ's sake. And he says, for his sake, I'm willing to be delivered unto death. Ah, but you know, we find that that's not the end of it. Paul says, you know, so then death worketh on us, but life in you. And he goes on to point out that Paul believes in resurrection. And he says, my body and all is going to be raised again. And he tells us three reasons why he's absolutely assured that the body should be raised. First and foremost, the Word of God says it, as it is written, I believe it. Secondly, verse 14, the Lord Jesus has been raised from the dead. And then he goes on to say, what the Lord has done with Christ, he's going to do with me. And then thirdly, all things are for your sakes, even death itself. Even death itself. And even death can begin because it will end or succumb to resurrection. And then as far as the outward man is concerned, he says, oh, that's a very sad thing that we should be getting older and older by the day. But at the same time, we could be getting stronger as we get older. Stronger, more mature in spiritual things as we get older. And therefore, it's lovely to meet an old brother or an old sister who's a giant in the things of God. It's lovely to meet some people who are still growing, even though they're 70 and 80 years of age. Who are still growing spiritually. And says Paul, that might be outwardly. I'm perishing, but yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And you know, we find that this body is therefore very important. This body is very, very important. Because in this body, in all its weakness and everything else, God can be glorified. Christ can be manifested. I can do the will of God in this body. And there's going to come the time that God's going to review the whole thing. And I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm going to receive the things done in the body. Let me just think for one moment. In the body, I'm going to close with a little story. I don't very often tell stories, but I'm going to tell one now. There's an old sister back home in Belfast.
and she was on her deathbed. The doctor come along and told her, you've only about 3 months to live. And then she sent for the brethren. And whenever the brethren came, the overseer, she says, you know, I've only 3 months to live. And she said, you know, I have £500, that's about $1,000 roughly. I have £500 in the bank. She says, now, I've still 3 months to go, so I'm going to hold on to it, you know. I'm going to hold on to it. Just as long as I'm in this body, she says, I might need it. I need it for a rainy day, as we would say. And she says, once I'm dead, there's that body, that money is for the assembly and for the Lord's work. And they said, well, we'll do that. Whatever money's left, whenever you're gone, we'll make our distribution according as we think. And that night in her reading, she read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the dear old sister come down to verse number 10. And she read, of the things done in the body. Oh, that put her up. Says, I'm trying to glorify God after I leave the body. And while I'm in the body, I'm trying to minister to myself with this £500. And she says, you know, there's no reward for that. And she could hardly sleep that night. And she couldn't wait till the morning. And she sent for the brethren. And as soon as they come the next night, she says, keep the money and take it now. I want to get a reward for it at the judgment seat. Says, I want to do this in the body. And so they took the money there and then, and you know, the old soul died about a week later. About 1 week later, she was absent from the body and present with the Lord. So we find that this body is very important. We look after it, I suppose, because we like to keep well and healthy. But in this body, we can glorify Christ. In this body, we can do the will of God. In this body, we can get to know God in a new way. In this body, we can mature and mature as we grow older. And by, we will leave it behind, whether it's changed at the coming of the Lord or was into the ground and raised again. And by, we shall stand with glorified body and look back to the old body. And at the judgment seat of Christ, it will be how I have lived in the body. We trust that the Lord will bless to us his work. And shall we pray? Our gracious God, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, our Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ who's in the midst. We thank thee, our God, he's in the midst of so many things as we have heard. And we do believe with all our hearts that he's been in our midst this evening ministering to us his precious word. And our Father, we thank thee also in a great measure he's in our hearts, in the very midst. And we can say, our Father, with sincerity, that we love him because he first loved us. Help us, our Father, to think of him. Help us, our God, to think of his various glories. And we pray, our God, that we may do his will down here while in the body and glorify him, that by and by when we stand before him, that he will be able to say unto us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Bless thy word to all our hearts, and thou be with us as we separate in our Savior's precious name.